Today's daf in Masechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Beis, and we got up to Nigmar Dino. So what's the halacha? If there was no Kohen Gadol, then no matter how important the need is, this person cannot leave his Yir Miklat. And it said even if he is so necessary for Klal Yisrael that he was the Ramatkal and he was Yoav ben Tzeruya, and so on. So once we introduced the issues of Yoav ben Tzeruya, we also want to think about what happened with Yoav ben Tzeruya, because Yoav ben Tzeruya also searched for Miklat in an interesting way. Besides the din of the klita of an ir Miklat, there's also a halacha that the Mizbeach is kolet. Now, it's not quite clear what are the dinim that the Mizbeach prevents a person from being killed. Is it being killed in Bezdin? Is it being killed by the Malchus? But there's definitely that point of Me'im Mizbechi Tikechenu Lamut, and that's only Me'im Mizbechi, but not Me'al Mizbechi. So there seems to be a way that being part of the Mizbeach, it's not clear how, but that would actually save the person who otherwise would be taken to his death. And that's what brings up the relationship of Yoav ben Tzeruya to understanding that broader din of Miklat. So we didn't just mention it in the Mishnah Stam. This is actually part of a deeper subtext of the concept of Klita and the way that it comes out in the history of Yoav ben Tzeruya. So, shtei te'uyot ta'ay Yoav bo'ta sha'ah. So, what happened? So, when David HaMelech was nifter, remember, he told Shlomo that he should use his chokhmah, because, after all, you're a smart boy, David tells him. I know that you're, he didn't say boy, he actually said a man, right? But he says, you're a very smart man, even though he's 12 years old, and you should aseik chokhmatcha and find a way to actually kill Yoav in a way that will be acceptable. Okay. So even though David had promised him that nobody was actually himself going to be killed, even though Yoav had been on the side of Adonio, and Shlomo HaMelech actually allowed Adonio to live, so Koshikani allowed the other people that had been on the side of Adonio, so he couldn't just stomp kill Yoav. So what did he do? So at the moment where Adonio made the big mistake of trying to get Shlomo to allow him to marry Avishag HaShunamit, which was an obvious sign that he was attempting to take the Meluch, because only an Amelech is allowed to be Mishtamish with the Caleb of Amelech. So at that point where he went to kill Adoniyahu, so Yoav realized, that means that now anybody that was on the side of Adoniyahu is now being viewed as being in a state of merida. So he runs, Ayonos Yoav el Hashem, v'yechazek bekarnot ha-mizbeach. So he runs and grabs on to the mizbeach, and he holds, he doesn't get on the mizbeach, he holds the mizbeach with the kronot. So he made a number of very serious, fatal errors at that point. And Shlomo HaMelech actually sends Benayo ben Yoyada and tells him Benayo tells him that the Melech wants you and you have to come out, and he refuses to come out. And so Shlomo tells, go and kill him even now as he's holding on to the mizbeach. So what was his mistake? So first of all, he made a mistake because the Mizbeach only is kolet, but it's only kolet when you're on the Mizbeach, not when you're holding on to the kronot. V'hu tafas bekarnotav. And there was no klita at all. That was one big mistake. The other big mistake was that the Mizbeach that is kolet is me'im mizbechi. Mizbechi is the Mizbeach that's miyuchadli, but that's the Mizbeach that's in Yerushalayim. Masha'en came, he went, hu tafas mizbeach shel Shiloh. Now, obviously, he couldn't really have been tofas mizbeach shel Shiloh, because Shiloh was not there for long before this story happened, obviously. Shiloh was destroyed after the death of Eli and the capture of the Arna Pres. So the portion of meaning of the Gemara is the Mizbeach Shel Shiloh is a general reference to the Mizbechot that were not yet in the Beis Olamim. But some change the gears, actually, and some say that it was Giv'on, and therefore that it should read Giv'on, and not Mizbeach Shiloh. But the Pashtas, when we say Shiloh, that's how some of the Rishonim explain it, that when we say Shiloh, we mean that which took the place of Shiloh up until the Zman of the Beis Olamim. So Abaye Yomer, he made another mistake. There was three mistakes. Bahanami mitata. He didn't understand the Pasuk. When the Pasuk was talking about Me'im Mizbechi and not Me'al Mizbechi, it meant that while you're doing the Avodah Al Mizbechi, so then you're not taken away. But Stam, to be standing on the Mizbeach, and Koshken, if you're not even a Kohen, so that was a total mistake. And therefore, it would not actually be Matzilim. So that was a third mistake. Now, the truth is that there are two completely, at least according to the Rambam, there's two completely different dinim about how it is that the Mizbeach is going to be collate. So in the case, first of all, the Rambam says, Misha kolta Mizbeach, ein menichinot sham. We don't leave him on the Mizbeach for the rest of his life, obviously. Mosrim lo shomrim, umegalim oto li'ir miklat. Now, this is only where, obviously, where he was mechuyev to go into galut. But how about somebody, mi shepachad min hamelech, shelo yargenu bedin hamalchut, or he's pochad mi bedin, shelo yargenu, because they paskened, not al pi the halacha, but al pi ha'hirah shah, that this person should be killed for the need of society, ubarach la mizbeach, v'nismach lo, Afilo hayazar harezin nitzal. Then lokhino tome imam izbeach lomut lo olam. Unless he's a real mechuyev mises besten, be'edut gemura ubahatra'a, kishar kol haruge betin tamid, then there's no din of the klita. So that means, according to the Rambam, there are three completely different halachas, because the Rambam connects the klita of the Mizbeach to the klita of the Ir Miklat, and says that it's the same, holding on to the Mizbeach would be the same as going to the Ir Miklat, and we would provide him with the two Talmid Chachomim that would be going, or he says Shomrim, he might even mean more than that. Okay? In the event that he was Chayev Golas. Fine. So that would explain why the Gemara originally did not agree with Abaye, because Abaye was saying Bahanamita, and that, it turns out, was not a ta'ut. And that's how the Rambam paskens, it was not a ta'ut. Reish Lakish. There's another case. This is very interesting, because Reish Lakish himself made this mistake. Remember, we had Betzer Lachud or Botzer Lachud, and it was Reish Lakish who had confused Betzer and Batzer. So that made him apparently sensitive to this interesting Gemara, that we have another case where there's a big ta'ut. And this is the ta'ut that is made by the Sorai Shal Raimi, which is the Sotan, actually. And that was his mistake, because it says in the Pasuk, I mean, what we're talking about over here is that Yifkod Hashem al Tzva Hamarom Bamarom Ve'al Malchei Adama Al Adama. So this, Liyasid Lavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to not only destroy these countries in their form in Olam Hazeh, but also the Sarim. And here we're talking about the Sar Shal Esav. And it says in the Pasuk, Mizeh, this is Yeshayahu, Mizeh bar mi'adom, chomutz begadim mi'botzra. So who, this is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming from Botzra, ki'ilu, he's completely covered with blood, kivayocho, and he's coming from the city of Botzra for some reason. So what happened? What happened was that the Tsar of Romi thought that Botzra is a Ir Miklat. So toe she'eno koletet ala betzer, v'ugol ala botzra. And he was toe. Now, obviously, there's some kind. I mean, it's a little difficult to believe he's that stupid, huh? I mean, didn't he ever read the Gemara that corrected Reish Lakish that said betzer l'chud and botzer l'chud? I mean, apparently, this is not a stam, a mistake in the name, but that there's something about Betzer. Of course, Betzer means miklat, bitzaron, right? So that means protection. So there was something about the nature of that city that's mechuber to the concept of bitzaron. So anyway, so he thought he could go to Betzer. And he made another mistake. The whole din of an ir miklat is for someone who killed Beshogeg. But these mamzerim and Nazis, they're mezidim about maximal mezidim, right? V'hu mezidaya. And furthermore, he made another little mistake. An ir miklat is for humans that have to worry about basar v'dam being a girl adam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the girl adam, you ain't going to be able to be protected anywhere. And since he's a malach, the girl adam is going to get you anyway. And that's why it talks about, as obviously there was no blood either. I mean, there's no blood in a malach. But as Rashi says, these are all words that are l'saber et ha'ozen of people that are hearing the metaphor. Omer Rabbi Abo, all of these orei miklat, which were given for the Levim to live in, were not given for Levim to be buried in, because it says, "Umigrisheim yiyulavem tam ulchusham ulchol chayatam." The area around the city was given to the Levim lekol chayatam, everything that was necessary for their life, but not in their death. So lechayim nitnu velo lekvura. So that means that the Levim themselves who lived there were not buried there. I don't understand. The Mishnah says that even the person who was gola to an ir miklat is dafka yes buried there. We darshan one of the psukim of Shama to say Shamte tirato, one to say Shamte mitato, one to say Shamte kvurato. So you see that we do kvura in the area around the ir miklat. Yeah, but that's different. That's the Rotzeach. Of course, the Rotzeach, the Torah said beferish, that he was supposed to be Ba'aretz, like we darshan before. But for someone who lives there, it would be usher to use the Migrash for that purpose, not to mention the fact that we've already explained that the burial is temporary, a person like that, because we're going to reinter him after the death of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, then we said that the Shem Sha'ir Koletet, Kach Tchuma is kolet. Now, what do we do with the Braita? Braita says about the din of Golas, the Yashav ba velo betchuma. So here it's talking about the Rotzeach. It says the Rotzeach has to be living there, not in the Tchum, but in the actual city. And you're telling me in our Mishnah that the Tchum protects him. I'm Rabbi, let's see what the question is. But there's two different issues. Lokash, what did the Mishnah talk about over here? The Mishnah was saying that the Tchum can be kolet. It doesn't say that he can go live in the Tchum. It just says, if he goes to the Ir Miklat, and there he's koveya dirato in the city. Now he wants to go into the area around the city where he has a field, or he wants to go for a walk in the parkland outside of the city. That's betoch ha-tchum, and that's perfectly okay. One was where he's supposed to live, and one was where it's kolet. So, makes no sense, your question. Oh, now, wait a minute. If the point in the Braita is that he's not supposed to be living in the Tchum, I don't need that fancy pusik about v'yashav ba bavalo b'tchuma. We know that you're not allowed to make homes in the area of the Sadot Ha'ir. Typically, learn it out simply from the halacha in the Mishnah, a Mishnah and Erechim. We learn this from the Psukim, that ein ozi migrash sadeh o sadeh migrash, velo migrash ir, velo ir migrash, which means that you're not allowed to build houses and to live in the area that was miyuchat for the parks and for the fields. So I don't need that special pusik. So obviously, if Abaya says that it's such an obvious difference and my question is silly, then how do you explain the fact that the Braita needed a pusik for it? It follows by definition. Rav Sheshes, no. It still makes sense. I'll tell you why we need a special pusik. Suppose you want to live in the subway system underneath the Mikrash, right? So you're not taking away any of the Mikrash, and therefore, okay, lots of homeless people go to sleep in the subway system. No, what's the big deal? So I would think without that pasuk, that it's okay for the person who is a rotzeach b'shogeg and he needs to go live in the Ir Miklat, he can go live in the subway, even though it's underneath the area of the migrash. So nitzra ela lemichilot kamashra on the new pasuk. No, he has to go live in the city. He cannot extend his home into an area under the migrash. And then we say the rotzeach who is yotze chutzatum. We have a machlokas between Rav Yosi Haglil and Rabbi Akiva as to whether it's a mitzvah bidei goel adam or whether it's only rishus bidei goel adam and so on. So turn right upon it. It says in the pasuk, "V'ratzach goel hadam et harotzeach." So it says, "Im yotzo yetzei harotzeach et gvul imikato asher enu shama, umatzo to goel hadam mechutz gvul imikato, v'ratzach goel hadam et harotzeach ein lo dam." So "v'ratzach" sounds like he should go kill him. And this is exactly the diak that Rabbi Yossi Haglili says. Look, if it says v'ratzach, it's a mitzvah biyad goel adam. If there's no goel adam, and therefore there's no problem of taking away the mitzvah from him, so then other people have rishus to kill him. So says Rabbi Yossi Haglili. But, I mean, we shouldn't actually, if we're not the goel adam, the goel adam, as the Rambam defines it, is anybody who is roi l'yorsho. Doesn't mean he's roi l'yorsho now, but he's roi l'yorsho ultimately, assuming other people will die. He's in line to be yorish. Okay. So that's Rabbi Yossi Haglili Shit. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the goel adam has the right to kill him. But if anybody else kills him, he would be chayev. And as I mentioned to you in the Mishnah, the correct girsa seems clearly to be chol adam ein chayavin alav. Why? Because it says at the end of the pasuk, ein lo dam. So ein lo dam means that there's not going to be any avenging his spilled blood, but that's not a rishus. It means that we won't punish you. So the ein chayavin alav is probably the correct girsa. So now, where does Rabbi Yossi Haglili, why does he say that viratzach has to mean, I mean, it doesn't have to mean, it just says viratzach, and he did. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, look, it could have said imratzach, right? And imratzach, then we would say en lo dam, but doesn't say that. It says viratzach, as if to say, he will do this, meaning that he should do this. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, he says, look, if it meant he has to kill him, then it would have said, yirtzach goel adam. When you say viratzach, the mashma'ut is, if it happened, so then if it happened, ein lo dam. So he's the guy that is only going to kill with a rishos. So the question over here obviously is not how to read the word alone, because both of these readings are certainly acceptable readings. The question over here is that do we say that to claim that the Torah is not only matir the dam, but it's b'chayev somebody to kill him. For that, Rabbi Akiva holds, you would have had to make it absolutely clear that it's a chiyev on you to do, because it certainly violates your simple take on the matter. Intuitively, you would say that this is a protection, but we're not going to tell somebody to go and kill him. Omar bar Zutra bar Tuv Yama Rav, a rotzeach sheyotza chutz l'tchum, not only is it not a mitzvah, and not only is he actually rishus, he's actually killed for doing so. Huh? That's not like any shita, and that's against the psukim. I don't understand. Pasuk says in lo dam, and Rav says yesh lo dam. What's going on around here? Who's this going like? Come on, lo k'Rabbi Yossi Haglili, v'lo k'Rabbi Akiva, v'lo k'Kadosh Baruch Hu Yitro. We leave that out. But obviously we're going to have to explain that. What's going on around here? Nobody is b'chai of that. U'diyomar ki haitana, there is a mocker for Rav's Shita, the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, what does it mean? Ad omdo lifnei haida, v'ayu lachem ha'orim lemiklat migo'el, v'lo yamut ha-rotzeach ad omdo lifnei ha-eda l'mishpat. I don't understand what that means. We're talking about somebody if he's a rotzeach b'shogeg. So what do you mean he's going to be eimed in front of the bezdin for a mishpat on killing b'shogeg? That is the mishpat that is in the Ir Miklat. So what is it referring to? Aha, says Rabbi, I'll tell you what it's referring to. Since it said in the pasuk v'ratzach goel adam, so somebody may come along and think that that means, yes, go ahead and kill him. He's in his Izir Miklat and he left, so kill him. So you might think the first time you find him, you kill him. That's why it says, no, Adam do lifnei ha'idah l'mishpat. If he's found outside of the Izir Miklat, he's taken to court for having violated parole. And then the court tells him, look, if you do that again, this guy's going to kill you. And then it's mutter to kill him. I have to kill him depending on Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva. But even, according to Rav, even those who are matir are only matir after the Besdin told the person and was matra him that if he violates his parole again, that he is actually going to be chayav misa. That's the point. Okay, so it turns out we have actually three completely different shitas. So according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, how did they understand this whole part about Ad Amdo? What does that mean? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Akiva, what did they do with the pasuk of Ad Amdo lifnei ha'idah l'mishpat, my darshibe? If we already had paskened about him, so then what did that pasuk refer to? Ah, that's a tremendous chiddush. That is Harumi Boile Kedetanya. Rabbi Akiva Eimer, minayin le-Sanhedrin shero echad she'harageta nefesh. Suppose you have a Sanhedrin of Esri v'Shleisha that is capable of giving out a chiyuv of Misa. How do we know that if that Sanhedrin actually witnessed the murder, that they can't paskin on that murder? She'ein me'mitin ato, ad she'amod be'beitin acher. He's got to go to people that never witnessed the murder. Talmud lomar, ad amdo lifnei ha'idah l'mishpat, ad she'amod be'beitin acher. So we do not allow a Besdin that cannot really contemplate a way to be matzil this person, because they witnessed it themselves. So then they're not roy to be a Besdin for him, and they have to take it in front of another Besdin. Fine. So now, turns out that whether it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili or Rabbi Akiva, they both hold at least that it's mutter, right? Not like Ra. So now, turn it up on it. And the bright that says, im yotso yetse harotzeach. What's that double lashon yotso yetse? Because I would have thought that only if the rotzeach is yotse from the Izir Miklat b'mezid, then we kill him. How do you know that even if he didn't realize that he had left the city, or he never knew that if you leave the city that he could be killed, how do we know that it's exactly the same, which, according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is actually the halacha? So this obviously is not like Rav, right? The Talmud Lomar, im yotso yetse, whether it's b'shogeg or whether it's b'mezid, that he would be chayav misa. But wait a minute, there's another brayso who says not like that. The Hatanya, only b'mezid ne'erak, but b'shogeg, he just goes back into the Izir Miklat. No kasha. Oh, the one that says that he cannot be killed, that we just said over here, does not darshan the double lashon of yatso yatse, because he holds dibra Torah kilashon b'nei adam. So that a double lashon does not necessarily mean that we're going to add an extra case. And so we don't have an extra pasuk to tell me, even if it's b'shogeg basha inkein, the first braita that we had, and therefore, when it says Yotso Yetse, it's being Mechadesh, Bein B'Shogeg, and Bein B'Mezid. Homer Abaya, I can tell you that in this case, it's not like an absolute whether we would say Dibra Torah K'Lashon B'Nei Adam, and therefore you cannot make a diuk from a double lashon. It's really a function of how reasonable it is in context. And in this case, I would say that everybody would agree that Dibra Torah K'Lashon B'nei Adam, and you're not supposed to be Doresh, Shogeg K'Mezid. Why? Because does it make sense? Shavu Yesofo Chamur Mitchilato. I mean, we're going to be more machmer on a parole violation than we are on the original murder. I mean, the whole point was that Mitchilato, the whole issue over here is that if he had murdered B'Shogeg, he is not going to be killed, right? So, matrilato, b'mezid is nerak, but b'shogeg is gole. So then if he violates parole, it shouldn't be more chomer than that. So af sofo b'mezid, if he does that on purpose, fine, you could say that then the girl Adam kills him. But b'shogeg, he should go back into galut again. Therefore, it makes more sense that we should not be derish the im yotzo yetze. Now, we also have another stira. Toni choda, af sheharag b'no naase lo goel adam. Let's say a father kills a son, b'shogeg, and now what we think this means is, father kills a son, b'shogeg, and he has another son. So then that other son is a goel adam, and he should go and kill the father, because the father killed his brother. And it's what it says. It seems to be saying, b'no naase lo goel adam. Vashenki, the other brighter, says, ain b'no naase goel adam. So how do we explain the two brighters that seem to be arguing? So apparently, it's exactly the question of the machlokas between Rabbi Yosef Aglin and Rabbi Akiva. So the brighter that says that you can kill the father if you're the goel adam, because according to Rabbi Yosef Aglin, who holds that it's a mitzvah. So since it's a mitzvah, so the Torah was a mitzvah for you in this case to kill, and therefore it's doicha, the chiyuv that you have to not hurt your father. Since it's a mitzvah, Mashen, according to Rabbi Akiva, there never is a mitzvah. It's only a reshus, so since it's not a mitzvah, so it's clearly going to be usher to the son. Ah, come on. You really think so? That this is dependent on that machlokas? We had before, if you remember, the fact is that bein l'man d'yomer mitzvah, bein l'man d'yomer reshus, you're never appointing a son or allowing a son to be the one who punishes his father. Remember we had before, Omer Rabba Barav Huna, V'cheintana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. There we were talking about becoming a Shliach Bezdin. So the Shliach Bezdin should go and he should punish, give Malkus, or allow it to force a person, Eina Ben Naaseh Shliach La'aviv, under any circumstances, whether it's to be Makehim or whether it's to be Menadehim and say a Lashon of Oror against him, the only time that it's Mutter is in the case where the father was a mesit. So over there, since it says beferish omra tera lo tachmo velo tachaseh alav, that special lashon by the mesit means that the son is not allowed to have any feelings for such a father. But I mean, clearly that was the brice of Rabbi Shmuel. We had that back in Sanhedrin, and we didn't find anybody arguing on that. So why in the world would the machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Aglin and Rabbi Akiva reflect on that original basic concept, even where it is a mitzvah and the Beis Din sends him, the son is never the one that is sent. So that doesn't make sense. So what is the basis actually for these two brayot? Ah, it's not a problem. Elo lo kasha. One brayot was talking about his son. And one brayta is talking about the victim's son, you see? So, b'no, his son, cannot become the goel adam, meaning a brother. But his son, meaning the victim's son, who would be a grandson to the murderer, there he is able to be the goel adam. So Rashi says he's not mitzuvah on the kovod of zikno, which is a big machlokas of. And many, many argue on that. And the question is whether because of Kvod Aviv, so the Kvod Aviv is Deiche, the Kvod of the Saba. And therefore, this price holds, he would be able to go ahead as the grandson and kill the grandfather. Which brings us to Sir Richard. Very heavy. I told you this morning, I think the heaviest part of it of all is that shom. That's frightening. Shom te dirato, shom te mitato, shom te kvurato. And we don't give a hang how indispensable you think you are. That is a powerful, powerful mission.
The cemetery is full of indispensable.
Yes, exactly. So we learned that the din is that the tchum is also considered to be a miklat. Now the question is, How do we actually define that tchum ultimately? Suppose you got a tree, and this tree is growing within the tchum, but it's got these branches that are hanging out, all of its leaves, and it's all hanging outside of the tchum, because this is right up against the edge of the city, or vice versa. Suppose you've got a tree that stands outside of the tchum, but you've got the branches are inside of the tchum. Well, everything goes according to the branches, which seems to be saying that if the person, the rotseach, is outside the tchum, but he's holding on to the trunk of that tree for dear life, that it's as if he's inside of the tchum because the branches are outside. But if the branches are outside, then even if he's inside the tchum, he can be killed. That sounds awfully weird. And we're going to see that it's definitely not what the Mishnah means, but it certainly is what the Mishnah seems to be saying. So we always go according to where the branches are. But the problem is that we have a Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni that discusses exactly the same issue. And remember that Maaseh Sheni also is going to be involved exactly in this question, because you can only eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. And furthermore, you can only be Poda Maaseh Sheni if it never got into Yerushalayim. So we have the same question. What would be the din of Maaseh Sheni where it's under the branches of a tree which is inside of the tchum, or vice versa? That's the question. And the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni says not like our Mishnah, because it says over there, Ilan shuhu omed, it should say, bifnim, venote lachutz, omed lachutz, venote lifnim. The halacha is, I don't give a hang. All that we look at is where the wall is. That's all. If you're inside the wall of Yerushalayim, so then you're in Yerushalayim. If you're outside the wall of Yerushalayim, you're outside of Yerushalayim. Who cares about the tree? So, I mean, that is very much not like our Mishnah that says we care very much about the tree. So there the Mishnah says, Mikneged achama v'lifnim kelifnim, Mikneged achama v'lachutz kelachutz, and it's all very simple. Where are you? That's the only thing we need to look at. And it has nothing to do with trunks of trees and branches of trees. So what about our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, I understand you. This is a question. You're comparing the dinim of Maaseh Sheni with the dinim of Ari Miklat. They have nothing to do with each other. Maaseh Sheni is dependent on the din of the Choma, because it says, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu. That means Lifnei is always defined by being within the same Mechitzais. So, of course, we just look at where the Choma is. Why would a tree have anything to do with it? But where you're talking about the din of the Ari Miklat, over there it has to do with Dira. Kibir Miklato Yeshev. Okay, so there you could say that a yeshiva in the branches. You want to make a treehouse, right? So now, how do we view that treehouse? That's part of yeshiva. So there we have to deal with the tree. So fine. So over there, it depends on the branches. I mean, you can't make a house in the actual trunk of the tree. You can only make it in the branches, under the branches. So if that's the case, it's very important for us to define where the tree is in terms of protecting you for the Yermiklat. But that has nothing to do with Maaseh Sheni. Okay, I'll accept that, but you're still not out of trouble, because it is also a stira in the dinim of Maaseh Sheni, because I told you just now that everything goes according to the Choma, right? And that's in Maseches Maaseh Sheni. But in Maseches Maaseh, this is also a Mishnah, I don't know why it says the Tanya, but in Maseches Maaseh, it says, Beirushalayim, Alech Achar Hanov, when it comes to deciding what the din is for Maaseh Sheni, go according to wherever the branches are. And Ba'ari Miklat, Alech Achar Hanov. So here, we've got a stira in the dinim of Maaseh Sheni. How are you going to explain that? So it says over here goes according to the branches, whereas the original Mishnah that we brought, which was in Maaseh Sheni, it says nothing to do with the tree at all. So how did the tree get involved in Meiser Sheni? So you can't tell me the tree doesn't matter, because all that matters is the actual location in terms of the Choma. So therefore, once we're going to look for an answer that explains the difference between the two cases of Meiser Sheni, it may actually explain the difference between our sugya and the Brishna and Meiser Sheni, our sugya of Ir Miklat. Omer of Kahana, it's very simple. There is actually a machlokas about this, Lokasha. Our Mishnah and the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, the one from Meseches Maisras, is both going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, actually, his shita is that the tree is defined by its branches, and in Meiser Sheni, which says we don't look at anything but the location of the Choma, that's going according to the Rabbanan. Where do we see there's a machlokas like that? Because Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, if you are looking at what the din is of a cave, where is this cave? You want to eat Meiser Sheni in this cave. Can you or can you not? Well, it depends. If the cave opens into Yerushalayim, so it all is defined by the opening. So let's say you're actually in one of those big caves that has these trains running through it. If the opening to the cave is in Yerushalayim, so then that would be part of Yerushalayim. That's Benogea caves. But when it comes to an Ilan, that is defined by the Nof. Okay, so then that means that Reb Yehuda speaks about both Meiser Sheni and about our Mishnah's case, and he therefore, when he says it all goes according to the Nof, he's talking about both cases. The Rabbanan disagree, and they say we never look at anything but where your actual presence is, and if you're alive, like Menachem L. Sklar, look at that. He is alive. So if you're alive and you're trying to determine where you are, so according to the Rabbanan, you would actually only look at your actual location, would not look at the places of branches or anything else. So everything makes sense now. The original contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Meiser Sheni, I mean, yeah, one is going according to the Rabbanan and one is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. As far as the other Mishnah in Maestros is concerned, that is perfectly consistent with our Mishnah because it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. So we have three different dinim, two of which are following Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and one of which is following the Shita of the Rabbanan, namely the Mishnah in Meiser Sheni that says who gives a hang, where the branches are, anything like that. Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. You can try to say that, but you're absolutely no basis for it. You are making a big assumption about Rabbi Yehuda. I challenge you to show me why Rabbi Yehuda would have said about our Mishnah that the din is that we would go according to the Nof. Because, look, Eibud HaShamad Rabbi Yehuda Gabi Maaser L'chumra. When it comes to Maaser, no matter how you look at it, you see, both cases, there would be a chumra. Because if you're talking about something that would be defined as being in Yerushalayim, then you would not be able to be paid if it hadn't been paid before. That's a chumra. If you're talking about something that is outside of Yerushalayim, then you wouldn't be able to eat it. So I'm able to say over there that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, you have to be machmir no matter what. So there, it makes perfectly good sense that we learn l'chumra. Both cases are l'chumra. So let's take the case where the ikar of the ilan is outside of Yerushalayim, and the branches are inside Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that means that the tree is inside Yerushalayim. That's l'chumra, meaning that in the same way that you cannot be poda if you're in the branches, because you're in Yerushalayim, so even if you're standing by the trunk, which is outside of Yerushalayim, too late. Yerushalayim was already collate this miser. You can never be poda it again. So that's the end of that. And the opposite case is also the chumra. Let's take a case where the ikar of the ilan is inside and the nov is outside. So we're saying l'chumra in the same way that if you were in the treehouse, which was outside of Yerushalayim, you would not be able to eat it without being paid to it, and therefore it's not kosher for eating, even if you're on the ikker inside, you're not going to be able to eat it. And of course, can't be put it, so therefore you have to be machmer not to eat it. Because even though the trunk is betoch hachoma, but we view it l'chumra to be outside of the choma, and therefore it prevents you from eating, which is a chumra. So by Ma'aseh Sheni, we find Reb Yehuda is going l'chumra no matter what. And we have no basis to say that he would go l'kula. But when it comes to the Arei Miklat, I mean, yes, one of the cases where the Ikar is outside of the Ir Miklat and the Nof is inside, so fine. If you want to say it goes according to the Nof, that's a chumra. Just like in the Nof, which is inside of the ear, you certainly cannot kill the Reitzayach. So too on the outside you can't kill, even though you're outside, because this is the ikar of a tree where the branches are inside. But how are you going to explain the other case? Ikro bifnim, which is our Mishnah. Where did Reb Yehuda ever say that? That if the ikar is bifnim and the Nof is bechutz, so you're going to say, just like you could kill the murderer if it's, he would be outside, you can even kill him inside? Is that what you're suggesting? I understand. The guy is in the Ir Miklat, and you're saying that you can come in there and kill him just because the tree has branches. Where the heck did Reb Yehuda ever say anything like that, that you would have the chutzpah to say that, well, yeah, we can easily explain the machlokas because, of course, that's what Reb Yehuda meant. I don't see anywhere that Reb Yehuda meant such a thing. It doesn't make any sense. So there's got to be a different way to understand it. So when it comes to Meiser, I understand that, yes, there's chumras in both cases. But in Meiseres, fine, in Meiseres, and in our Mishnah, how's it going to go exactly like Reb Yehuda? So what, we should go to Kula? No. Says the Gemara, well, no, wait a minute. Maybe, actually, there is a way to make things work out, and how would that be? I would say like this. Of course, there's no question that if the Rotzeach is inside the city, like you say, and he's next to the Ikar of an Ilan where the branches are outside, nobody, not even Reb Yehuda, nobody would say that you are not allowed to go inside of the city and kill him. That's for sure. And if he's outside of the city and you're able to shoot him, so the Yochel Orga Bechitzimu Betzrorot, nobody would say that you can't kill him because the ikar of the tree is inside the city. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Either he's in the city or he's out of the city. What difference does it make where the tree is? That's not the point. You know what the machlokas is? In the case where you could climb up the tree trunk, which is in the city, and you could get out to the branches to his treehouse to kill him in his treehouse, can you do that? That's the machlokas. But as far as actually, if you had a way of shooting him in his treehouse and you wouldn't have to climb, for sure you could. And if he was inside the city, for sure you could not. So what's the machlokas? Ki plige b'mahavi ikarot dar galaguf lenofar. Question over here is, Reb Yehuda holds that ikaro is a proper dargah lenofo. He's saying, akol olech achar hanof. Fine. So where is the guy, the killer? The killer's in the nof, outside of the city, and there's no reason why the gol adam of this murderer should not be able to go into the city, climb up the trunk in order to get to the nof. That's what Reb Yehuda holds. Masha Enkein, the Rabbanan hold, no. You can't even go into the city in order to climb up on the trunk. So that's the point. So basically, the two Mishnayos, the Mishnah in Maestris and the Mishnah that says over here that it goes by the Nof, that doesn't, what it means is telling me where you need to get to that location by going up the actual trunk of the tree. It doesn't mean that the whole tree becomes the equivalent to being outside. And therefore, it's not talking about a kula. And therefore, it could be going a libet Reb Yehuda. Rav Ashi says, look, there's a very simple way to explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. When the Mishnah said Acher Hanof, it doesn't mean always. It means Hakol Holech Af Acher Hanof, meaning not only do we look at where it is, but there's also a time that we're going to be machmer on the girl Adam that he cannot kill in a case where the nof is also enough to prevent him from killing because the nof is outside. So that's also a chumrah to protect and to prevent the murder by the girl Adam. And that's all that it actually means. And now Richie's on double time over here. Move on, Sir Richard.
So the Halakha Mishnah.
Now, what happens if a person who is in Golus, in a particular city of the Ohr HaLevi'im, and he kills again? Well, the problem is he can't leave his original city. Like we said, Shama, he's stuck there. So if he can't leave his original city, is there any chiv on him for this new golas that he's chayiv? Yes. Gole mishchuna lishchuna. We're going to prove from the Torah that this is actually considered to be a golas by leaving one neighborhood for another neighborhood. But a ben Levi, who happens to be living in an Ir Miklat, and he doesn't have any isser of leaving that Ir Miklat, he would go from one ear, even though it's an Ir Miklat, he has to go into Golas, preferably to a completely different city, because the idea of going to a different neighborhood is only kicks in when it's usser for you to actually leave the city. So he would be going to a different one of the 48 cities. Tana Rabbana. It says, remember in Shmos, v'samtilecha makom, when we went through all the different psukim, we went through that pasuk as well. V'samtilecha makom asher yanus shama. Now that's amazing because he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, v'samtilecha makom. We weren't even near Eretz Yisrael at that point. We were still at Har Sinai. And nonetheless, there's a place. So what does that mean? V'samti lecha, first of all, if it's for Moshe Rabbeinu directly, it means b'chayecha. It means that in your lifetime, there will be a place and that you are actually going to be Isaac in the sugya of Ohrei Miklat. So that means at least there's a remez that he's going to set aside three of the six Ohrei Miklat. But it's also l'chamakom, meaning mimikomcha. It's going to be a place where you, Moshe, actually live. And what's that? That's the Machane Levi'ah in the Midbar. Asher Yanus Shama, that means now. Melamed Shayu Yisrael Maglin Bamidbar. They gave a din of Golas. If somebody killed accidentally, even in the Midbar, during those 38 years, they went into Golas. Where was the Golas? Leichan Maglin. So the person who had killed anywhere in the Machane Yisrael, within those Yud Beis Mil, he would go and find himself a mokum in the Machane Levi'ah. And just like the Levi'im were mechuyev to allow the murderers to live in those cities, so too in the Midbar, the Levi'im had to allow into the Machane Levi'ah for purposes of living anybody who had killed Beshogeg. Now, therefore, you see, that since it was said to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, so then that would mean a ben Levi who killed obviously also goes into Golas, because he says he's talking to Moshe, l'chomakom. So that must mean that going to a different section, a different neighborhood of the Machane Levi'ah is considered to be a Golas. So you see from there that moving from one neighborhood to another is an effective act of Golas. This has implications for determining your move, you know. You think, well, you know, I'm still in the same town. Well, anyway, okay, so we see from here that whether it's a Levi, or, because this is a Levi is going, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a Levi that's going to a different neighborhood, and in our mission, it's a Yisrael that's going to a different neighborhood because he can't leave. So, Omer Vacha, Breda Ravika, where do we see that this is true in both cases? Ki be'ir miklato yeshev. He should continue to live in the city that was already an ir miklat. You see what the pasuk is saying? What do you mean, ir miklato yeshev? By his yeshev, he's making it the ir miklat, right? No. If he killed again, he stays and in the ir miklato that was there from before. Ir shekalatato kvar is still considered to be the city in which he is going to be in galut. Must be that the halacha of moving from one place to another is itself an act of galut. And this brings us to three times is ice cream for Richie. The problem is that Richie is fleishig. Would you like, Rich, would you like maybe some sorbet?
Hey, dude. This is right at the end of the duff. You would save it for tomorrow, no?
Save it for tomorrow?
Tomorrow is another day.
Man, what won't you do to get out of a zucht? Man. Oh, man, outwitted. I chose the wrong person. Doc, why didn't you raise your hand?
If it's
you're absolutely right, Rich. It's late. I didn't realize I'm keeping you so long. I was looking how long the recording was, and this is the second recording. Brilliant. Okay, it's very late. Thank you, Rich. Okay, everybody, Laila Tov. Looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to seeing you tomorrow morning. At our regular time, then. Kol tov, everyone. Besorot tovot. Tough world out there, man. Tough world.